You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad city, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, shadoobie, along with the ticket cashing, tater smashing, golf hole in one guru himself, Carver High this afternoon. Mafia running it with Luke. I am El Pava. It's C2C on a thirsty Thursday. The lineup for today, we got a double shot with Morenci coming up from Vancouver in the first hour here. In the second hour, a double shot with Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and Fox Sports, Big Ten Network. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. And then in the final hour, the sportsbook consigliere himself, Dave Sharapan, joining C2C today, Carver High. You were talking about watching the 3-on-3. I watched today. I could barely take it. They lost again. This time it was the women. I already know how bad the men are. They can't beat anybody. And apparently, from what I watched this morning, neither can the women.
Happy Thursday to you, Scotty, indeed. Yeah, the women lost their first game 17-15 to Australia earlier this morning. They're going to play Spain in about 20-25 minutes from now. They're pretty much finished, as we like to say. The men lost 20-18 to Lithuania. They will play at 5:05 East against Latvia. And they are 3.5-point dogs to Latvia in that 3-on-3 game. So what a difference a day makes. USA men now getting 3.5 points on the line. And the women are actually also – let me give you the women line, Scotty. Why not? Women are favored again, even though they're 0-3. They're minus 1.5 against Spain coming up here in about 20-25 minutes from now. So we'll see how that all goes with the 3-on-3. We also have – the standard 5-on-5 with the United States women, who just got underway against Belgium this afternoon. Another fat number of 23.5 before tip. 8-6 United States here early on, Scotty, as they have just started this game.
Yeah, now I'm picking it up. So I have this game. Let's see if I can get it on so I can watch these chicks play. There you go. I got the game rolling now. So I'm in business there. And they're up by the bucket over Belgium early. I wanted to say one other thing about the 3-on-3 when I was watching today, the women. It seems to me like they're yelling at each other. They're playing so horrible that they're like, did you see them like yelling at Van Lith? They're like blaming her for some of her ins, her passes to the teammates on the inside. They're throwing balls out of bounds. They're turning the ball over. They don't play, I mean, literally any defense. They can't stop anybody. Every game I've watched, they've lost. I mean, they get schooled by everybody. I don't know. Who was I watching them play this morning? Who did they lose to?
Australia. They lost to Australia this morning. So they're going to try again against Spain. Coming up here in about 20 minutes. So we'll see if they can get on the board, of course. And I got one other thing that I'm keeping my eye on this afternoon. And I know everybody's excited. There's a lot of gymnastic stuff. Simone Biles won another gold. That McIntosh from Canada that everyone's involved with, she won a gold. Summer McIntosh about 20-25 minutes ago. There's another big, couple other big swim races on. But my girls, Scotty, Cloth and Nuss, the women's beach volleyball team, which I have at plus 275 to win the gold, they are playing one of the Chinese teams at 405 East. They're going to be on the beach. So I'm going to be tuned in for Cloth and Nuss coming up here in a little bit. I love the late night beach volleyball.
And who's the other one that I've been watching? The other one is the Hughes
that
and Loser?
That's Chang and Hughes. They play tomorrow at 4 o'clock East on a Friday.
So they're a separate team altogether than the ones that you're riding.
The United States has two women's beach teams and two men's beach teams in the competition. So there's two teams apiece. Budinger plays tomorrow. Chase Budinger tomorrow morning.
The former NBAer.
Yeah, minus 175, too. They're favored, him and Evans, against the Spanish team. So we'll see. I love the beach volleyball. Cloth and Nuss are minus 350 coming up here in a little bit. So hopefully they'll be able to take care of business. We have other things going on as well. The golf got through round number one today in Paris, too, with Hideki Matsuyama. A brilliant 8-under round, bogey-free round for Matsuyama today, as he has the lead. Xander Schauffele is only two back. Joaquin Niemann, Emiliano Grillo, Tom Kim, Alex Noren, Tommy Fleetwood, Scotty Scheffler, lots of guys. As we expected, with only 60 golfers, lots of big names at the top of that leaderboard with three rounds to go.
How would you like to have Xander Schauffele lurking around you after one round of the Olympics? Because he won the gold medal already once. Now he's won the PGA Championship and the Open Championship as the champion golfer of the year. And he's lurking two back of Matsuyama. I think I'd be very nervous at that guy because he's playing the same type of methodical. He'll just be right there. And then you know what happens on Saturday and Sunday. He takes over.
Yeah, this year he's changed the entire narrative. He's gone from a guy who could never win to now a guy that you better hope he's not chasing you on Sunday because you're going to be in lots of trouble. That's what Schauffele's done here in the last couple of months, completely turned all that around. So I'll give you the updated odds later for the golf as well. We'll see if we can find somebody to maybe chase Matsuyama down over the next couple of days. We'll go through everything from last night. We'll get into stuff for tonight. The NFL preseason begins tonight. Football, many say, officially back. The illustrious Hall of Fame game in Canton between the Bears and the Texans, Scotty. I got all the numbers for you today. Unders in the preseason, best and worst coaches against the spread in the preseason. Everything for anyone who actually wants to get involved with this stuff tonight, preseason football.
Yeah, I just want to know if you can take it, right? Like, can you take watching who's going to be playing in this game as opposed to you think it's this great NFL game and it's a bunch of hacks? It's a bunch of guys that aren't going to make the NFL, that aren't going to make that team. Maybe what? A couple guys make it? Like, what are we watching here tonight? They're fooling us.
As I say this to you all the time, people will turn it on for about 5 to 10 minutes. They're going to be excited that the NFL's back and it's on. And then they're going to look at themselves and they're going to go, all right, when's the Chiefs and the Ravens? When's that first game? When's the Thursday night game? Because this is brutal. I think people will actually at the beginning tune in because they're going to get their first look at the new kickoff stuff tonight, too. So everybody will be interested in that. As well, the new kickoff.
Well, that's
rules. That gets
the bizarre kickoff plan. Do you know how it works?
It's going to take some time to get used to. The guys can't run until the guy touches the ball. You can't. There's a lot of new rules. It's going to take some time. We've been watching football, NFL, really the same way for so long that to see something different like this tonight and going forward. Is going to be strange. There's no doubt about that.
Season? They're going to run week?
It's this whole year. And now they can get rid of it after this year if it doesn't work. They left that door open, but it will be the entire season. They're running with this new kickoff plan. They'll do that today. We'll get the baseball as well. How about the Padres last night, Scotty? Only 4.5 back of the Dodgers now in the NL West, creeping up on them.
Yeah, and they lit up Kershaw. They keep winning. They went out and solidified that bullpen, and they're going to be hard to beat if they keep playing like this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 Eastern on all of our outlets, all of our streaming networks, all of our TV stations, everything on the TV side and on the radio side, Sports Byline USA, all their affiliates, and SiriusXM channel 159 all over the Southern Hemisphere. Marenzi, you got a lot of action going today in the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We're just soaking it all in, Scott. It's been an epic day of Olympic action once again in France. Simone Biles wins another gold medal in women's gymnastics. And I don't pretend to be a gymnastics expert, Scott, but I watch the routines, and she does things that the other girls don't even try to do. And I got to tell you what, gymnastics is one of those sports where you ask yourself, how come I don't watch this more often, Scott? You should have seen Team Brazil, all right? Like, it was like top-notch elite athleticism and show as well. But all the hype around Biles, like, she really is the real deal. And people in the gymnastics world are saying, you know what, she's the best gymnast ever, point blank. Like, her power, just it was really cool to watch. I've been talking a lot about the 17-year-old Canadian woman phenom swimmer, Summer McIntosh, and we're cashing tickets, Scott. She's like the future Katie Ledecky. She was in the Olympics. She was only 14 last time. She finished in fourth. This week, she's won two gold medals and a silver medal. All right, absolutely dominant performance. The swimming has been awesome. And a little bit later on, guys, in about, an hour and a half or so, coming up, actually, 2:40 Pacific. Anyways, a couple hours from now, we have the relay, women's relay. Actually, you know what? Get the bets in now because it's going off the board soon. But, Scott, epic stuff. This Australian women's team, maybe the best, like, swim team ever put together. And the USA, obviously, are always a powerhouse. Canada have Summer McIntosh. China are really good. This women's relay race that's going off the board soon is going to be absolutely lit. Australia's going to win. They're big favorites. No one's going to beat them. I think it's going to be Australia 1, USA 2, and either Canada or China 3rd. I'm betting on Canada to make the podium, Scott. Plus 333.
And how long is the race?
I got some water polo.
How long is that
race? It's 200 meters. It's only 200 meters, bro.
Oh, so it's two down, two back.
Everybody does 50. Everyone does, everyone just does one lap. 50, four racers, 50 each. So
50 each.
Summer McIntosh is dominant on Canada, but she can't make up for the other three. You know what I'm saying? If it was a longer distance, maybe. But, yeah, Australia is just too much, Scott. Let me get the exact. It's going off the board. My head is spinning with all these different times. All the time, but it goes off the board. 3:48 Eastern. So in about half an hour's time, this race is on. Check it out. It'll be on NBC.
Yeah.
They're showing us swimming live now.
I'm watching right now this Belgian team giving Team USA some problems in this basketball game at the end of the first. It's a tie game right now with about 4 seconds left in the first. So Belgium showed up.
I got cold feet about this, Scott. No lie. I was thinking about, like, man, do I lay the points? And I started to think, you know what? USA barely covered against the 5'4" girl the other night. And, you know, the 5'2" girls, these lines are pretty sharp. And I tell you what, Belgium have two girls on the team that play in the WNBA now. So you have two pro players on there. They have a couple other, like, solid European-style players, Scott. Belgium didn't play well in their first game, but as you stated, 23-23 right now after the first quarter of play. USA closed is minus 23.5. Currently 17.5 right now, Scott. USA minus 17.5. Total is 170.5. I was thinking about going over 165.5, but I've been betting on so many events. It sounds crazy that I'm betting on, like, swimming podium and hammer throws. I'm like, nah, I can't bet on women's basketball. I got to be careful what I bet on. I wasn't sure about that game.
Well, I mean, the chick's hitting threes. She must be one of the pros. I see this blonde just daggering from deep. And everybody's lit because they're in the game. Yeah,
she's the point guard of Mystics, Scott. She's the point guard of the Washington Mystics, the girl on Belgium.
Yeah, that can shoot.
So, you know, it's only two of them. But, you know, this USA team, the numbers. And how about this, Scott? The USA as well, I saw this, and this sort of threw me off. They never won by more than 24 points in the Tokyo Olympics in the last games. So they're not winning by 40 and stuff. So in the last Olympics, they never won by more than 24. They beat Japan by 26 or 25 the other night. So it was sort of right there. And I just sort of looked at this. I'm like, you know, Belgium, you got some tall European women here. You got a couple of WNBA players. Yeah, it's just a little bit too pricey for me for I stayed away. But you got to like this, Scott. I got a hardcore play for everybody. And this game's coming up in about half an hour or so. Take Japan plus 4.5 against Hungary, men's water polo. I'm telling you, Scott, I've been killing the water polo, bro, and I got too cute. I literally went on like an 8-1 water polo run, all right? So I'm sitting up last night, you know, doing my thing at like 5 in the morning, Scott. I'm like, man, I'm the water polo king. I started like raising the units up, firing off water polo picks. I went 0-3. Right? And you know why? Because I started to get cute and take favorites, man. The underdogs are the way to go in water polo. I mean, it's the Olympics. They're all good. And the favorites are, like, bumped up too high. And I kept on taking underdogs and winning. And I get cute. I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll take Croatia minus 5.5. They win by 4. You know, stuff like that. I'm like, you know what? No. Taking the underdogs. Let's go with Japan. Japan plus 4.5 against Hungary. Water polo, baby. We're on top of everything.
So you heard him. It's Dog City, Dog Day Afternoon in the water polo. He was hot taking dogs, and when he went with favorites, he got schooled. When we come back, we'll see what Narenzi's got lined up for the Thursday NFL. Night Hall of Fame NFL game tonight between the Texans and Bears in Canton, Ohio. We're talking to Narenzi on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're talking to Narenzi. You can catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 Eastern and 7 Pacific. So you got football tonight, if you want to call it that, in Canton at the Hall of Fame game with all the backups playing and guys that more than likely aren't going to make the team, but at least it's the helmets look like the Bears and Texans playing.
That's what you're tuning in for, Scott. You're exactly right. We're tuning in for the uniforms, aren't we? We're tuning in for the NFL fix to see, to hear the music, hear a familiar NFL announcer's voice, hear like the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. And then, Scott, you know, they basically use it to line it up. And don't forget, Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys, opening Sunday or whatever, you know what I mean? It, you know, every marathon begins with a first step. This is the first step. You got to take this first step. Tonight's the first step. And I used to get really excited for the Hall of Fame game, Scott. Like, oh, this is great stuff and stuff. And then basically about midway through the first quarter of play, you're like, this is the worst television I've ever watched in my life.
It is.
And you're like, I don't know why I was so excited about this. This is bad. And you change the channel. You're like, oh, God, I can't take this anymore. Right? But listen, I'm a big CFL guy, bro. We have CFL on tonight. Big game. BC Lions and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So I'm more fired up for that. But with all that being stated, I'm glad the NFL is back. And I do love betting on the preseason, guys. There's big preseason advantages at times. But the Hall of Fame game is like the worst game of the year to bet on. All right, these teams just got out of camp. They don't want to show anybody anything. It's not like a real preseason game. Like they don't, you know what I mean? Like the coaches will chart stuff. All right, this one's the real one. This one's the rehearsal. This is like a nothing sort of scrimmage practice. Like they don't have a game plan. They're not playing anybody. It's really a battle of like four or five guys that are trying to make the team at the back end on special teams. Like, and I've heard NFL coaches say out of 53 guys, we already know 50 of them are going to be on the team. So training camps, like for a couple of guys, you know, if they maybe can backdoor this thing. But with that being stated, Scott, I think the Chicago Bears, a lot of optimism about the Bears this year. There's so many new parts and so many new players on the Bears. I would have liked, if I was them, I would have rolled out Caleb Williams, taking a couple of snaps, Scott. He's, you know, if you're scared of him getting hurt, handing the ball off, you got a problem. So, you know, I don't agree with it. And I think the Texans, Scott, are sort of like the Baltimore Ravens in a way. I think they're kind of building that sort of, you know what, like we're a deep football team. The Texans have drafted really well over the years, guys. They do well late in the draft. They do well with, like, walk-on free agent types. The Texans actually will have competition going on for jobs on their team because they're good, right? The Bears already have everybody and hope they're going to be good. The Texans have sort of more of an edge to them. I will note Eberflus is 4-1 in the preseason, so the Bears have been good in the preseason in the past 2 years. But with all that being stated, I lean with the Texans tonight. But, Scott, I like the under 31.5. I think it's going to be an incredibly dull, boring game. And not to mention, bro, they play in the regular season in week two. Nobody ain't showing nothing tonight. They play again next month for real. Nobody's doing anything tonight besides handing the football off over and over and over and over again. So unless there's like a big play here or there, I don't really see how they get to 32 points tonight, Scott. Give me the under 31.5. And last thing about this, there's a new kickoff rule in the NFL that even coaches don't understand that we're going to see tonight for the first time.
And I guess, like, haven't we seen it in the in this UFL or whatever? Isn't it the same XFL thing that they're doing?
Yeah, but you know what, Scott? So remember 2 years ago, it was the XFL and the UFL. They were separate leagues.
Right.
The XFL used to do this kickoff. When they merged leagues, they decided not to do it. What does that tell you? Like, the UFL doesn't even do it. The UFL-XFL did it and didn't like it. They were like, you know what? This is just sort of like, I mean, why are we doing this? Like, where it's not. And you guys are going to see it. Yeah, bro, it's very weird. You're going to have guys on the 40-yard line, the 35-yard line. Like, the kick is going to look like a play. You're going to be 5 yards apart now. And guys, it's so complicated. The NFL rulebook is 9.5 pages of explanations of this. Like, if you kick it here in this zone, this happens. Dude, like, some coaches, like Andy Reid supposedly already has a bunch of, like, trick plays he's going to freak people out with because he's a creative guy. Other coaches are lazy, Scott, and they're saying, you know what? I'm just going to boot the ball through the end zone to avoid all of this. But now if you kick the ball through the end zone, the opposing team gets the ball on the 30-yard line. So it is going to be an interesting dynamic with this. Like, dude, the Chiefs signed a rugby player, Scott, to return kicks.
It might be the only reason to watch the game tonight.
Yes, you're right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's dive into some baseball from last night. You were talking about the Padres before with me at the beginning of the show, and they did it again to the Dodgers.
They did do it again to the Dodgers. I am going to get there. I did want to give you this, though, because it just came across my desk at the Spew newsroom, and I wanted to let you know. Of course, injuries happen all throughout NFL training camp, but when they happen to big-time starting quarterbacks, Scotty, we usually take a little bit more notice of it. The Chargers just announced that Justin Herbert was diagnosed with an injury to the plantar fascia in his right foot. Per the team, doctors have recommended approximately 2 weeks in a boot, followed by graduated return to play protocol with the expectation he'll be ready for the start of the regular season. All right, Scotty, plantar fascia, 2 weeks in a boot. Is he going to play the first game?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It is the most aggravating, painful, you know, injury. It drives you nuts. I mean, it's the weirdest thing. When you play, it's not that bad. It's when you stop playing that it gets bad, like when the game's over, right? So I used to have both feet. I used to have double plantar fascia, and I'd have like literally – when I wasn't playing, like when I got out of bed or whatever, I could barely walk. I mean, you're in agony. You're like walking like you're 100-year-old. I mean, you're literally crippled. It'll bring you to your knees. It hurts so bad. It's like having a piece of steel in your foot. But when you play, it loosens up. Like, you can actually play with it, and you're like, oh, it doesn't hurt that bad right now. So it's like a tongue in your the muscle under your foot is like a giant dog tongue. And it, what happens is when you play, it rolls out and it loosens. And when you stop playing, it hardens and tightens back up like a, you feel like you have a piece of steel in your foot and you can't, you know, it's unbearable. It is literally unbearable. And you see guys all the time talking about having plantar fascia, and it knocks guys on their ass. It's that simple. Like, it kills. It's agony. It hurts so bad. The only way I got rid of it, I tried everything. I mean, I tried everything. I had cortisone shots. Some people get them snipped in half, the plantar fascia muscle. They'll operate on it and cut it in half. They just snip it in half, and then you don't have it anymore. That is crazy, if you ask me, to do that. But the thing that got rid of it for me was rolling nodules. And some people just use like a tennis ball or a baseball, but I used a nodule roller. You remember I used to do entire shows. I'd sit here for 3 hours rolling my foot with a nodule just to get rid of the pain. So listen, to act like this is nothing for Justin Herbert is a lie, because it is the most aggravating, nauseating, painful, irritant type injury. It drives you nuts. You can't get out of bed. You can't walk. Like, walking in your house, you walk like you're 100. It's awful.
It really is. So that's going to, listen, when you get stuff like this early in the year, it lingers. And now you've been, basically, you know, look, I don't think it makes that big a deal, but you can do nothing in training camp now. You know, we've seen this a lot with Burrow the last few years, right? Doing nothing in training camp before the season starts. So that's what Herbert's going to have now out there in L.A.
Mike, it happens to people that are, frankly, inactive. Like right. If a guy, you know, the weekend warrior type guy will show up at the gym to play ball, and he'll show up and be like, you know, I'm gonna play basketball today. I don't know how many times I've seen guys show up that haven't played ever, that never, you know, never run. They don't get in games. They don't play pickup. They don't do anything. They show up one day thinking they're going to go all out, right? And what happens is those people will run without inserts in their shoes and just with, you know, a basketball shoe on or whatever, and just start playing and running and jumping and getting crazy. And all it takes is about an hour, and then your plantar fascia swells up. I mean, it is just, if you get it, you are done. I mean, it is awful. And I don't know how many people have done the, you know, guys that don't play that'll start playing. And the ones that never play are the ones that are usually tearing their ACLs and MCLs and patellas and having, frankly, Achilles tears, calf tears, quad tears. It's guys that never play that aren't in, you know, sport shape. Like, so it could be football at training camp at the NFL. They haven't done anything. They go to training camp. They start busting ass 2 days doing whatever, and they're not ready for it. Next thing you know, they got plantar fascia. It's just the most aggravating foot injury ever. I mean, you might as well, you'd rather have someone shoot you literally with a gun than have plantar fascia. That's how bad it hurts. It'll drive you nuts, and it never goes away for months.
Never goes away. Never goes away. I have the women's 3-on-3 on. They're actually out to a lead. I just saw Van Lith hit a 2, and they're up 4-1 on Spain. So maybe they're going to finally get their act together out here at the 3-on-3 court, and we'll see what happens there. Let's get the Padres and the Dodgers in, and then we'll do the rest after. Of course, last night, Padres beat the Dodgers 8-1, Scotty. That clinches their first season series win over the Dodgers since 2010, and it gets them to within 5.5 of the Dodgers in first place in the NL West, which we thought the Dodgers were going to run away and hide. It was a little bit of everybody for San Diego last night, including Luis Campusano on MLB Net.
Luis Campusano single in the second inning to drive in a run.
High drive, deep left field off the bat of Campusano. It is back, it is gone! Home run number 7 of the year for Campusano, and the Padres take a 5-1 lead.
So once again, Dylan Cease pitches well. He was coming off a no-hitter, pitched well. They got to Kershaw. I told you, last night, right? Like on the show, I said, this guy's not pitching. He pitched four innings his first game. They're not going to send him out there five, six, seven innings. It's not happening. So he can be had, and they got to him.
They certainly did. I know my guy Profar had a couple hits. I was hoping he'd get a homer. He did not. No Machado homer last night. Tough night for the homers. We'll get back on that horse tonight on the lion's share in a little bit. Next up for you, and I just wanted to look and see what they had the odds for now for the Padres, Scotty, for the NL West. And right now they have them at, I will find it for you. They don't have the division up right now. I'll get you the division numbers for the Padres. Let's go to the Buccos next. Of course, they were looking for the sweep in Houston last night against the Astros. And let me tell you, Scotty, they were a botched play out in left field by O'Neill Cruz away from actually getting it. Unfortunately for them, Mauricio Dubon pinch hit home run on Space City Sportsnet.
Dubon drives one deep to left field. He set on that pitch and he gives the Astros a lead. 5-4 Astros. Doobie off the bench with a pinch hit. Huge home run.
Well, they finally figured out the Pirates, I guess, by a run. And I saw that play by Cruz. It was ugly. He misplayed that pop over short, right? Like that went out into the outfield and he tried to make that play. It was ugly. So it is what it is. They lost the game, lost by a run. So be it.
Yeah, they built a little bit of a lead against Valdez, and that was really the turning point with that. Padres 8-1, by the way, to win the NL West, as I just got that up. So 8-1 for the Padres. And the Diamondbacks, the Diamondbacks are only 5 games out, and they're 16-1 to win the NL West. I mean, they're basically the same spot as the Padres in the standing, and they own the Dodgers. So 8-1 and 16-1. If you think the Dodgers might fold up shop there, which I still don't think they'll do. I still think the Dodgers will win that division, Scotty.
Well, isn't
one way?
So yes. The question is the season series over with the Padres? Because they won the season series for the first time since 2010. Does that mean it's over? They don't play them anymore.
I believe they might have one more series with them, but because they've beaten them, I guess, the couple times, they swept them once, the 2 out of 3 the other, I think that's why they've won the season series. I'll check that.
So no matter what, they're still going to win the season series.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So the BetMGM First Bet offers the greatest thing that's ever happened. It's the First Bet 1500. People are talking about it wherever I go. It doesn't matter at the pool, at the beach, at the restaurant, in the diner, everywhere you go. I went to the Dairy Queen the other night to get everybody blizzards. They were talking about it. Literally, people in line, you would have thought they would have been talking about M&M blizzards, but I heard a guy talking about the First Bet 1500. It is crazy. How do you get it? 4 easy steps. 1, download the BetMGM mobile app on iOS or Android or go to BetMGM.com. 2, sign up, deposit at least 10 into your new account. 3, place your first wager and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. Did you hear me? If the bet loses, they're going to give you $1,500 in bonus bets immediately. 4. So if it loses the bet, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. There is no greater promotion anywhere at any sports book, anyhow, any day. I mean, it's just that simple. The BetMGM First Bet 1500 sets the bar very high, Carver High.
It certainly does. There's no question about that. Halftime for the women's in the 5-on-5. 46-38, so they're getting a push from Belgium, Scotty, in that game out there. And it looked like they were starting to pull away, and Belgium had a little flurry right before the half. So just a 8-point game going into the second. Live number 17.5. Of course, we know that was that was around 23.5 at the pregame. And your girl Van Lith taking over here. I mean, she just had a hoop and a harm, got the free throw as well right after it. Then she hit another shot from outside, 12-7 USA. And who's in the front row watching Van Lith and the U.S. women 3-on-3? Your boy LeBron there in the front row watching the three-on-three competition this this evening in Paris. So lots to play for.
KD was at the earlier one.
He was at the game they got squashed. Was the one that KD was at. Now LeBron comes for the night. Maybe he's going to see his boy stick around and see his boy Jimmer after this as well, as they're both playing here in the late night session. Speaking of injuries, your
Jimmer
boy
banged up.
Jimmer's always banged up. That's for sure. A couple other things from last night, and then we'll move on. The Red Sox did beat the Mariners 3-2 in 10 innings. So a walk-off win for the Red Sox. Of course, Devers took care of business. A few notes there. Did you see Kirby's Dreamland throw the knuckleball?
Yes.
To start the game in honor of Tim Wakefield. I thought that was really cool. And then what wasn't cool was Mitch Garver after telling everybody about all the death threats and just miserable social media that he gets. Now, look, I get it. The guy's hitting .160 this year. I understand. But again, do we need to go and threaten the athletes' lives when they're not performing well? What are we doing out here in the world? It's amazing.
Threatening his life, threatening his family's life, threatening, you know, you name it, he's gotten it. You know, every threat imaginable he's received, and he like literally rattled them off, like all the different threats he's been receiving. He was like going through the litany of the threats. And it really is insanity. It's crazy stuff. People are crazy. Like, people are absolutely nuts. Like, who in their right mind, like, seriously, you're going to stalk and then you're going to harass and intimidate and send threatening emails and threatening social media attacks and everything else. And this is how you're going to go down in life? This is going to be your final calling. You're going to, what are you going to do? You're going to go kill a Major League Baseball player because he's hitting .164. You think, you know, there's a real solid decision in your day. Like, here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go kill Mitch Garver. Like, can you imagine these people? Seriously.
It makes absolutely no sense. No sense whatsoever. The Cubs beat the Reds 13-4 last night. Cubs beat the Reds 13-4. Rockies beat the Angels 2-1. We had a couple different guys for the Rockies last night. I had gone away from Brenton Doyle, Scotty, because he had gotten hurt the other day. He wasn't hurt last night. Game tied at 1 in the 8th inning on MLB Net.
This ball high and deep left field. Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Speaking of homers, Brenton Doyle has just put the Rockies out front. 18th of the season for Doyle.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that game last night was 2-1. And furthermore, the next one, the Giants-A's, I couldn't even believe that game ended 1-0. Honestly, what was happening last night?
I couldn't believe it either. In fact, 1-0, a complete game shutout for Logan Webb, Scotty, finishing it off on NBC Sports Bay Area.
Shutouts from Giants pitchers against the A's. Jerome Williams, Matt Cain, Lidscombe twice.
Big chopper. And that's the ball game. Well, the horse does it. The Giants needed a win.
Was that the zany radio bit, Foghorn? After a win,
they
played.
I get that foghorn in there.
So, when I lived in San Francisco, right, I used to live on Chestnut and Hyde up by Lombard Street, the crooked street, right? And I lived at the top of this steep cliff, and it was, I mean, it was scary because of all the earthquakes and everything. I'm living on this cliff. Literally, the building was on a cliff. And you just are like, and when there were earthquakes, the building would start rocking like this, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So at nighttime, when you sleep there, you know, a lot of places, believe it or not, aren't air conditioned, whatever. They just roll with, it's so chilly there usually and cold that it doesn't usually get to be 90, 100 degrees. They don't have, once in a blue moon, they'll have a heat wave. But you would sleep with your windows open, and all night long when you sleep in San Francisco with the windows open, you hear, in the middle of the night, you hear, because there's always rain and fog, you hear, aha, ah, you know, the boats out on the bay. And I could see Alcatraz from my apartment. And literally, I would hear boats all night long with their foghorns that they now play in every arena.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I see that the Orioles had a bad injury last night, Carver High, in their win over the, I think it was the Jays, right?
Yes. Yesterday afternoon, of course, that big win, which had the Jackson Holiday Grand Slam, etc. They did get bad news. Jordan Westberg, we've seen this so much this year in baseball, the fractured right hand after being hit by a pitch. So no timetable for his return. So another bat out of the Oriole lineup.
I'll tell you the timetable.
There with Westberg.
I broke mine. I broke mine in five places, so it's a timetable of, in my opinion, look at Mookie Betts. It's somewhere between 8 and 10 weeks.
Well, but like, you know, and now is when that stuff, especially if you're a team like them, who's a playoff team, if you're a playoff team and you get injuries like that now you're, you know, you have to think about playoff time, right? Like if you get an injury like this, like we've seen in April or May, it's like, all right, well, you'll be back. You'll get some games in. When you get in on August 1st and you're talking 8 weeks, you know, you're talking, you know, you'll be ready for the playoffs. You know, that's the kind of stuff that has to factor in because I saw the playoff schedule get released today, Scotty. I believe October 2nd is when they're going to play that first game of the wild card series.
So right now there's 8 weeks left.
In the regular season.
So you can say goodbye to him.
Yeah, probably. I would bet that they don't see Westberg again. And listen, if you get somebody like Holiday who steps up, other guys, you know, then
he
don't play. And even for this year, at least, Westberg's a good player. He'll be a real good player for them. They have so many.
But not when you're out for 8 to 10 weeks and then you come back and, like, what, you go to BP or something and you start trying to get your rhythm back. If you're not playing, to me, you're a liability.
You don't have those legit minor league rehab games. All they give you is those dopey simulated games, which aren't, you know, aren't the real thing at all. And since we're 8 weeks away, I thought I'd give you these today as well, the updated look. We try to look at these every week on Coast to Coast, and that is some of the awards and where they're at. A few of them are looking like runaways with 8 weeks left in the season, including both of the MVPs maybe. AL side, look at where Judge is now, Scotty. That would be minus 1,000 is where they have Judge as the favorite. I know that I've seen a lot of the charts and graphs crowd start to bang the drum for Bobby Witt Jr. With the amazing July that he had. But hard to argue with a guy who's a homer and an RBI short of 40 and 100 on August 1st.
Yeah, like, honestly, I think Bobby Witt's been awesome.
Phenomenal.
To watch. And, you know, he's been tearing it up. That's great and everything. But he's not on that level of Aaron Judge. He's not on his tier at all. In fact, you know, who is? Ohtani. That's it. There's only one guy that's on his tier. And I'll tell you another thing. Rather face Bobby Witt or Juan Soto? I'd rather face Bobby Witt because I think Soto does more damage than Witt, and they got Witt way ahead of Soto on that list. And you can't tell me, do you really think that Witt's better than Juan Soto? I'm gonna just ask you right now, flush.
I think that Witt's very, very good. He's still. I think that it's a different conversation maybe a year or two from now. I think Witt might be better than Juan Soto a year. And
in a couple of years, he might be better. But is he better right now? Who would you fear more in the batter's box in a playoff game, Bobby Witt or Juan Soto?
I would have to lean Soto at this point, but I think it's a lot closer than we think. I think that it's very close. I think Witt is Witt's no joke.
I put him on the same tier as Soto. I don't put him on their tier. Fair enough?
Right.
So if Witt's gotten that good, then I put him on the same tier because I don't think that Soto's just so incredible. I've had this conversation with you. I don't think he's so incredible that I'm giving him $380 million, $400 million. I'm not doing it. I'm not giving him 12 years and Trout money or even Judge money. I think he's a really great player that, you know, in my opinion, deserves less years and less money. I don't think he deserves that gigantic 12-year thing that they've been giving out to everybody. I don't buy that. But I put him on the same tier as Witt, but I put Judge and Ohtani on a stratosphere penthouse tier that's untouchable by any other players in baseball. There's no one on that level.
And that's why they're both such heavy favorites right now for both of those awards.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.